Parshas Pinchas. At the end of Parshas Balak, we have learned how Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the grandson of Aaron HaKohen, stood up and stopped the Chilul Hashem, the desecration of Hashem's name, that was done by Zimri, leader of Shevet Shimon. When Pinchas killed Zimri, Hashem stopped the Magefa, the plague that Hashem sent on the Yidden, by which 24,000 Yidden have died. Yes, thanks to Pinchas, that he stood up and stopped the Chilul Hashem, that no more Yidden have died. Now, did all the Yidden appreciate what Pinchas had done? That he killed Zimri? Well, our Chachamim tell us that there were many Yidden who began to complain, mainly from Shevet Shimon, since Zimri was their leader. They said, "We cannot believe that this Pinchas did it just for Hashem's sake. After all, his grandfather is Yisrael, because his mother was a daughter from Yisrael. Yisrael used to fatten calves for idols. So how could Pinchas have done this, L'shem Shomayim? Either he killed Arnasi because he hated him, or because he was insulted when Zimri asked Moshe how Moshe was able to marry Tzipora, the daughter of Yisrael, who is from Midian. And why was Pinchas insulted? Because his mother is a daughter from Yisrael too, from Midian. That's why he killed Zimri." When Hashem saw so many Yidden complaining about Pinchas, Hashem commanded to Moshe to announce in Hashem's name, if Pinchas would not have killed Zimri, Hashem would have destroyed all the Yidden because of the Chilul Hashem. It was Pinchas who saved all the Yidden from being destroyed. It is true that Pinchas comes from Yisrael's family on his mother's side, but at the same time, his father is Elazar ben Aharon, and just like Aharon was the one who was Oyhev Shalom, V'roidev Shalom, he loved peace and made sure to spread peace wherever he could. The same thing with Pinchas. He made peace between Hashem and the Jewish people. And just like Aharon once stopped a Magefa from spreading among the Yidden by bringing Ketores, as we learned in Parshas Korach, the same thing, Pinchas stopped a Magefa from wiping out the Yidden. Hashem continued, just the opposite, Pinchas deserves a great reward. He put himself into danger when he killed Zimri, who was a leader, and when he killed Cozbi, the Midianite princess. And why did Pinchas do this? All in order to stop the Chilul Hashem. And because of this, Hashem is going to reward Pinchas both in this world and in the world to come. First of all, Hashem made him into a Kohen. Before killing Zimri, Pinchas was not a Kohen. Even though Aharon, his grandfather, was a Kohen, Elazar, his father, was a Kohen, yet Pinchas was not a Kohen. Well, how is this possible? If his father and grandfather was a Kohen, why wasn't Pinchas a Kohen? Well, the answer is because Hashem is the one who made Aharon into a Kohen. At that time, Hashem said, only certain people will be Kohanim. Aharon, Aharon's sons, and the grandsons who are going to be born from now on. And that means any new grandchildren. Now Pinchas was a grandson who was born before. So he's not a new grandson, so Hashem never included him amongst those who became Kohanim. So the only ones who became Kohanim was Aharon and his sons. Elazar, the father of Pinchas, did become a Kohen, but since Pinchas was born before, Pinchas never became a Kohen. Only the new grandchildren will become Kohanim. So what was Pinchas? Pinchas was only a Levi, since he came from Shevet Levi. It was now, after he killed Zimri, that Hashem gave Pinchas a special reward, that now Pinchas will be a Kohen. And not only that, Pinchas' children will also be Kohanim for all generations to come. And our Chachamim tell us that in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, 18 Kohanim Gedolim came from Pinchas' family. And during the second Beis HaMikdash, 80 Kohanim Gedolim came from Pinchas' family. Hashem also promised Pinchas peace and protection from any of Zimri's relatives who would want to harm Pinchas in revenge for killing Zimri. Furthermore, says Hashem, because Pinchas brought peace between the Jewish people and their Father in heaven, he will be the one to bring peace in the future too, in the time of the Geula, of the redemption. He will appear as Eliyahu Hanavi, of whom it is said, V'heshiv leiv avos al banim, v'leiv banim al avosam. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Our Chachamim tell us that Pinchas and Eliyahu are the same person. And Hashem rewarded Pinchas, which is Eliyahu, to live forever. He will go up to heaven alive. Now after rewarding Pinchas, it was time to punish those who had caused the Yidden to sin. Hashem told Moshe, "The Midianim are your enemies. They're the ones who sent their daughters to get the Yidden to sin. The one who causes another person to sin is worse than a murderer. A murderer can harm the body of a person and does not let him live in this world. But someone who makes another person sin, he's harming the person's neshama. He harms him for the world to come. That's why the Midianim, who wanted to harm the Yidden by getting them to sin, they deserve to be destroyed." Hashem told Moshe, "The Midianim are very angry because their princess Cozbi was killed, and they are plotting evil ways to take revenge. You have to go to battle against them." Hashem gave special rules for this kind of war against the Midianim. Usually, before going to war with any other nation, Hashem said, "Always give them a warning. Maybe they want to make peace. If they don't, then you attack them." But by the Midianim, Hashem said, "Don't give them any choice to make peace. Attack them immediately." Another rule that Hashem made for this war, when attacking their cities, destroy their fruit trees. Usually, the Torah does not allow the Yidden to chop down the enemy's fruit trees when they conquer a city. But by the Midianim, it is different. Hashem said they should chop down the fruit trees. A third rule that Hashem made for this war. Usually, the Torah says that when you want to conquer a city, first surround the city on only three sides, leaving the fourth side open for the people to escape if they want. But in the war against Midian, Hashem said, your armies should encircle the cities entirely. And the reason why Hashem made these rules about the war against Midian was, as we said before, because Midian was out to harm the neshamis of the Yidden. And that's why they deserve such a punishment. Now, before making the war against the Midianim, Hashem said to Moshe, "I want you first to count the Yidden."
Yes, we know that the Yidden have been counted several times in the past. Well, now Hashem wants the Yidden to be counted once again before they make the war against Midian. Now, why didn't Hashem tell the Yidden to make a war against Moav too? At the end of Parshas Balak, we see that it was the daughters of Moav too who were involved in trying to get the Yidden to sin. Well, first of all, Moav tried to destroy the Yidden because they were afraid that the Yidden would steal from them. But the Midianim had no reason to harm the Yidden except for their hatred, because they wanted to get the Yidden to sin. Another reason why Hashem did not want the Yidden to destroy Moav was because of the great woman Rus, who comes from Moav. It is from her that David HaMelech comes, and also Mashiach Tzidkenu. Now, why did Hashem want that the Yidden should be counted now again? Our Chachamim tell us several reasons for this. First of all, since the Yidden just had a magefa, a plague, during which so many Yidden died, Hashem wants to count the Yidden again. Our Chachamim give a parable. This is like a wolf that attacked a herd and killed several sheep. It is then that the shepherd counts over the sheep to see how many remained alive. The same thing, Hashem wanted the Yidden to be counted now after the magefa that was in Shittim. There's another reason why Hashem wanted the Yidden to be counted now. Our Chachamim give us a parable. A farmer hired a shepherd to guard his flock of sheep. When he gave the sheep over to the shepherd's hand, he counted every single sheep to see how many there are. Later, when it's time to return the sheep back to the farmer counts his sheep once again. The same thing over here, as we're soon going to learn. Since Moshe did not enter Eretz Yisrael with the Yidden, it was rather Yehoshua who took his place. It is now time for Moshe to count the Yidden before returning them back to Hashem. Then there is another reason why the Yidden were counted now. The Yidden are soon going to enter Eretz Yisrael. When they come into Eretz Yisrael, every Yid is going to get his portion of the land. Now, in order to know how many Yidden are there and how many portions to make, it was necessary to know how many Yidden were in each and every Shevet. So like that, we're able to divide up the land in a way that every Yid should have his share. Hashem told Moshe that he should only count those Yidden who were over 20 years old at that time, because only those who are over 20 will get a separate portion for themselves in Eretz Yisrael. Now, there was one Shevet that was not counted together with all the Yidden, and that was Shevet Levi, since they are not going to get a regular portion in Eretz Yisrael like all the other Yidden. What are they going to get? Where are they going to live? Well, that we are going to learn later on in Yirtzeh Hashem. But, nevertheless, after all the Yidden were counted and calculated their total, then Hashem said, now count Shevet Levi separately. Now, if we take a look at the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar and see how many Yidden there were then, and then see how many Yidden there are now after the Yidden traveled 40 years in the Midbar, we will see that there were less Yidden now than there was before. The Yidden were missing 1,820 Yidden. And that's because there were so many Yidden who died in the Midbar and also in the Magefa. On the other hand, if we take a look how many Levim there are now, there are 1,000 more Levim than before. Before there were 22,000, and now there were 23,000. Yes, they did not die in the Midbar, because they had nothing to do with the Meraglim, and they were not included in the decree that the generation must die in the Midbar. And here the Torah begins counting each of the Shvatim, beginning with Reuven. The Torah tells us Reuven had four big families: Chanoich, Palu, Chetzrein, and Carmi. And then the Torah tells us that they had 43,730 members of this family. This was less than what they started off with when they entered the Midbar. Then the Torah continues on with Shimon and then the other Shvatim, telling us how many families each Shevet had and how many people there were all together. Now if we take a look, we see something very interesting. When it talks about the first family of Reuven, Chanoich, it says, Mishpachas HaChanoichi, the family of the Chanoichi. Instead of saying the family of Chanoich, it says HaChanoichi. Why does it change the name from Chanoich to HaChanoichi? Which means actually that it's putting a hey before Chanoich and a yud after Chanoich. HaChanoichi. And then if we look at the next family, we see the same thing. Instead of Palu, it says HaPalu'i. Instead of Chetzrein, it says HaChetzreini. And the same thing with all the families of the Shvatim. They all have a hey and a yud added to their name. And Rashi tells us why. There were nations that would say, do you think all the Yiddish children are really Yidden? Some of them are surely Mitzrayim, because while the Jews were enslaved in Egypt, just like the Egyptians were able to enslave the fathers, they were able to take the mothers for themselves and marry the mothers and have children. So many of the children that came from those Jewish mothers are really from Egyptian fathers. This is what the nations would say. In order to disprove that, Hashem made a miracle that every child who was born looked exactly like his father. So everyone realized that the Yiddish Kinderlach were purely from their own father and mother. And that's why Hashem put the letter Yud and the letter He before and after each family name, to testify and say, I witnessed and I watched that every single Yiddish child came from the pure father and mother and not from anybody else. All of these Yiddish families are 100% pure Jewish. Both their tatis and their mammies are Yidden. Now after the Torah tells us the number of the members of the family of Reuven, the Torah mentions in short about the argument of Korach and Dathan and Aviram against Moshe and Aaron, and how the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them up, and the fire that came and burnt up the 250 men of the Sanhedrin who were with Korach. And then the Torah says, Uvenei Korach loy mesu, but the sons of Korach did not die. Now what does that mean? If we take a look in Parshas Korach, it says that the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all the people who were with Korach. That means that everyone got swallowed up, including the sons of Korach. So what does it mean over here, Uvenei Korach loy mesu, that the sons of Korach did not die? So Rashi tells us that at the beginning, when they started to plan against Moshe and Aaron, the sons of Korach were involved. they were part of it. But later, when it came to the argument, they had thoughts of teshuvah in their heart. In their heart they felt sorry, and they did teshuvah. And therefore later, when everyone was swallowed up in the ground, Hashem made a high place for them, to protect them in Gehenna, in the ground, and they stayed there. Now, why did the sons of Korach get such a punishment? On one hand, they were swallowed up. On the other hand, they didn't die. Well, this was because of the kind of sin that they have done. You see, when they felt sorry during the argument, and they did teshuvah, they only did teshuvah in their hearts. But they didn't show anyone that they did teshuvah. On the outside, it looked like they were still part of the argument. And since that was so, they deserved to go into the ground, that everyone should know that anyone who argues with Moshe and Aaron gets punished. And that's why they had to be swallowed up. But on the other hand, since they did do teshuvah in their heart, they were able to remain alive. Now, did they stay there forever? No. They came out. When did they come out? Well, as you know, all the Yidden who were in that generation, in the time of Korach, when he had the argument with Moshe, they were the Yidden who were supposed to wander in the Midbar for 40 years, and they were going to pass away there, and their children, the next generation, will enter Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem waited until all of the people of that generation passed away. And when there was no one left, except for the new generation, who's going to go into Eretz Yisrael, then Hashem allowed the sons of Korach to come out from the ground. Yes, since the people who were then and saw the sons of Korach arguing are no longer alive. They all passed away. So now there is no reason that the sons of Korach have to stay there in the ground. So it was then that Hashem allowed the sons of Korach to come out from the ground. And now you can understand why the Pasuk tells us later, when it counts up the families of Shevet Levi, it mentions Korach's family. Now how can it mention Korach's family if they all were swallowed up in the ground? The answer is that they now have come out from the ground, and it is from them that great tzaddikim came, such as Shmuel Hanavi, and later on, 24 groups of Leviim that served in the Beis HaMikdash. And now, Hashem is going to tell Moshe how Eretz Yisrael should be divided up for all the Yidden. As we have just learned, that one of the reasons why Hashem wanted the Yidden to be counted now was in order to see how many Yidden there are in each Shevet. So like this, we will know how big should be the portion in Eretz Yisrael that Shevet is going to get. Hashem told Moshe that it depends on the size of the Shevet to know how big will be the size of the portion in Eretz Yisrael for each and every Shevet. A Shevet that has more people will get a bigger size, while a Shevet that has less people will get a smaller size. Now, after we know how big each piece of land should be for each Shevet, now the question is, which part of Eretz Yisrael should be given to which Shevet? Which Shevet will get the upper part of Eretz Yisrael? Which Shevet will get the middle part of Eretz Yisrael? And which Shevet will get the lower part? And for this, Hashem said that they should make a Geirel, a lottery. And the Geirel will be directed by Hashem in a miraculous way, as we shall soon see. First of all, they prepared two containers. In one container, they had 12 tickets. On each ticket, there was the name of one of the Shvatim. In the other container, there was another 12 tickets. On each one was the name of one piece of land of Eretz Yisrael. It was then that Elazar the Kohen Gadol would be wearing the Urim v'Tumim, the Choshen Mishpat, and then the Nasi of each Shevet is going to come and pull out one ticket from each of the two containers. On one ticket, it's going to say the name of the Shevet. On the other ticket, it's going to say which portion of Eretz Yisrael that Shevet is going to get. But before the Nasi pulls out the two tickets, Elazar the Kohen Gadol is going to say with Ruach HaKodesh, this and this Shevet that's going to be picked out from the Gadol is going to get this and this part of land. It was then that the Nasi would pull out two tickets, and a miracle happened. The Nasi would pull out the ticket that has the name of his Shevet, and from the other container, he would pull out the ticket that has the name of the portion of Eretz Yisrael that was announced just before by Elazar the Kohen Gadol with Ruach HaKodesh. So like this, everyone saw the great miracle from Hashem, that before the Gadol was picked, already Elazar Kohen Gadol announced it with Ruach HaKodesh. And then another miracle happened, that the Gadol itself began to speak. That's right, Hashem made a miracle that the Gadol itself called out and said, Ani HaGadol, I am the Gadol that came up for this and this part of land of Eretz Yisrael, for this and this Shevet. And that would be exactly the same as Elazar the Kohen Gadol said, and as the Nasi picked out from the two containers. Upon witnessing these miracles, the Shvatim realized that their portions in Eretz Yisrael were given to them by Hashem's will, and they accepted their part of land without complaint. Now, after dividing up the entire land to all the 12 Shvatim, now every Shevet has to divide up their own portion amongst their own families. That means that every member of that Shevet who was 20 years and older got a share of Eretz Yisrael. Now, if we take a look in Chumash Mice, in Parshas Va'eda, it says that Hashem promised the Yidden who were in Mitzrayim that Hashem is going to bring them to the land, to Eretz Yisrael, V'nosati oisa lochem meirasha, and I will give it to you as an inheritance. That means to say that Hashem promised that He's going to give a piece of land to each and every Yid who left Mitzrayim. Now you may ask, who is going to get the portions in Eretz Yisrael? Is it the generation, the Yidden who left Mitzrayim? Or is it the new generation who is now ready to go into Eretz Yisrael 40 years later after the Yidden left Mitzrayim? And we know that all those who left Mitzrayim have already passed away in the Midbar. So, who's going to get the shares in Eretz Yisrael? In this parsha, Pinchas, it tells us that the Yidden who are entering Eretz Yisrael are going to get their parts in Eretz Yisrael. And in Parshas Va'eda it says that it's going to be for those who left Mitzrayim. So our Chachamim explain it in the following way. It is actually the new generation that is going to go into Eretz Yisrael now. They are the ones who are going to get the shares in Eretz Yisrael. That means that every member of that Shevet who is 20 years and up will get his share in the land. But he's not going to keep it yet until they make a new division. They divide it up once again amongst those who left Mitzrayim. What? Amongst those who left Mitzrayim? They have passed away already. So how can you divide it up again amongst those who left Mitzrayim? Well, our Chachamim explain it as follows. Let's say there were two brothers who left Mitzrayim, Yosef and David. Yosef got married and had three children, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. David also got married, and he had only one son, Yehuda. So that means that Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are cousins with Yehuda. Now, after the 40 years of traveling through the Midbar, Yosef, the father of the three sons, passed away, and David, the father of Yehuda, also passed away. And now, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda are all ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And they're all over 20 years old, so they all claim a share. They want to have their share in Eretz Yisrael. And how many shares are there going to be given? Well, four people get four shares. One for Reuven, one for Shimon, one for Levi, and one for Yehuda. Sounds very good. They're getting four shares. But that's not it. They can't keep it yet. They now have to divide it up once again in a very special way. Who are the people who left Mitzrayim from this family? Yosef and David, their fathers. How many people are Yosef and David? Two. So let's take the four portions that were given to these four cousins and divide them equally between Yosef and David. Yosef should get two portions, and David shall get two portions. Even though Yosef and David are not alive anymore, but let's look at it as if they are alive and they are getting an equal share. Two for Yosef and two for David. Now, who are the children of Yosef? Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So they are going to get the two portions of Yosef and divide it up amongst themselves. And the other two portions of David is going to go to Yehuda, their cousin. So this is a very special way of dividing it. Before, each one had a whole share for themselves. Now that they had to divide it up again amongst their fathers who left Mitzrayim, Yehuda gets two whole portions, while his cousins, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, have to share out amongst the three of them the two portions that they got from their father, Yosef. And this is the way Hashem wants the land to be divided up amongst the Yidden. And now, the Torah is going to tell us the story about the five daughters of Tzelafchad. Tzelafchad was a Yid from Shevet Menashe. He had no sons, but he had five daughters. Their names were Machla, Noah, Chagla, Milka, and Tirza. All these five sisters were very clever and very righteous. They also knew how to learn Torah. Now, when they heard how Moshe explained that Eretz Yisrael would be divided up amongst all the Yidden, and that every man who is over 20 years old is going to get a share in the land, they discussed the matter among themselves. Our father's name will be forgotten because our father left no son to be able to take over his place and get his portion of Eretz Yisrael. Since there are no sons, so let us, we are the sisters, let us ask to get the portion of our father So like this, we'll have a portion in Eretz Yisrael, so that our father's name will not be forgotten. Let us all go together to Moshe and ask him if he can give us our father's portion of the land. One of the sisters visited the Beis HaMedrash every day to hear Moshe teach Torah. One day, she came home and told her sisters that Moshe taught the Yidden the laws of Yibum. Yibum means when a brother-in-law marries his sister-in-law. Usually, a brother-in-law is not allowed to marry his sister-in-law. But sometimes, not only is he allowed to, but it's a mitzvah, and that mitzvah is called Yibum. For example, let's say Reuven married Leah. After a while, Reuven passed away and left Leah all alone. He had no children with her, so now Leah has no husband and no children. It is then that there is the mitzvah of Yibum, that is, that Reuven's brother, Shimon, has a mitzvah to come and marry Leah. And once he marries her, and Hashem blesses them with a child, this child is a memory to the name of Reuven, her first husband. Now, there is a certain condition to this mitzvah. The mitzvah of Yibum is only if Reuven had no child before he passed away. But if they did have a child, even one child, then there is no mitzvah at all for Shimon to marry his sister-in-law Leah. And this is the mitzvah that one of the sisters heard Moshe teach the Yidden on that day. And she came home to tell her sisters about this mitzvah. When the sisters heard this, they said, "But our father died without leaving a son. So let our mommy marry our uncle. And if a son is born, he'll take over our father's property. And like this, our father's name will not be forgotten." "No," explained the sister. "Mommy cannot marry our uncle, because mommy did have children with our father. That's all five of us. We are all the five daughters of our tati and mommy. And once there are any children, there is no mitzvah of Yibum." The other sisters answered, "If we are considered our father's children, and that's why our mother can't get married to our uncle, that means we are just like sons. If we are just like sons, we should get his share in the land too." They all decided, "Let's go to Moshe Rabbeinu and ask him what is the din." So they all came to the Beis HaMedrash of Moshe Rabbeinu. Over there was Moshe, Elazar the Kohen Gadol, and the judges of the Sanhedrin. "We are Tzulafchad's daughters," they explained to Moshe and Elazar. "Our father died in the desert. He died because of his own sin. He had nothing what to do with the sins of other Yidden, such as the Misleinanim, those who complained and said that they were afraid to go into Eretz Yisrael because they heard the report from the Meraglim. And Hashem then said, okay, they will not go into Eretz Yisrael. Our father had nothing to do with those Yidden. And our father had nothing to do with the assembly of Korach either. Our father died just because of his own sin. And he didn't cause any other people to sin with him. And therefore he does deserve to have a share in Eretz Yisrael. And we as his daughters want to take over his share. And if you want to say that we can't take over his share because we are daughters and not sons, that means we are not really considered his children. Now, if we're not considered our father's children, then it means that our mother can get married to one of our father's brothers. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. And then, if they have a son, that son will take over the portion of land of our father. So now, the five sisters are standing in front of Moshe, waiting for his answer, to know whether they are going to get the share of Eretz Yisrael that their father Tzlafchad was supposed to get. When Moshe heard their question, he brought their case before Hashem. Now our Chachamim tell us that Moshe was actually taught by Hashem already what is the answer to this question. But it was just at that moment that Moshe forgot. That's right, he forgot the halacha, so he was not able to answer them. Why did Moshe forget the halacha? Our Chachamim tell us that this was because of something that Moshe said. When Moshe appointed judges over the Yidden, he told the judges to take care of the Yidden and help them solve all of their arguments and cases. He also said to them, "V'hadavar asher yikshe mikem," any matter which is too difficult for you to judge, "takrivun elai," you shall bring to me. Now Hashem was not so happy hearing such words from Moshe, as if Moshe can answer all the difficult questions. So here Hashem showed him that there are some times that he may forget, and he has to turn to Hashem. And that's why Moshe forgot the halacha at this moment, and had to turn to Hashem and ask him. And also, since they want to know the laws of Yerusha, of inheritance, who inherits the father's possessions, Hashem wanted that these halachais should be written in the Torah in the schus of these righteous women, the five daughters of Tzlafchad. So now they are waiting to hear what Moshe is going to tell them in the name of Hashem.